Scott Bennett is the author of Pozières, the Anzac Story. Scott, welcome to the French Language Programme.
Thank you, Jean-Noël.
Was Pozières your original working title?
I probably worked on a number of titles, looking at the Somme, Pozières, Anzac. It encapsulates those three things, but essentially the book is about Pozières and the Battle of Pozières.
What makes this period of Australian history fascinating for you?
Well, it probably all goes back to actually when I visited France for the first time in 2003. Unlike France, Australia doesn't actually have battlefields, so you actually have to go overseas to understand part of Australia's history. And I remember reading about the Battle of Pozières from an Australian perspective, and 23,000 Australians were killed or wounded in the space of 7 weeks in July 1916. So for myself, I'd read on the battle, but I was actually visiting the village of Pozières, and what struck me when I visited that village is just what a small village it is, a number of cottages, number of farmhouses. And what I couldn't reconcile was the fact that so many men had been killed or wounded for what appeared to me to be an insignificant village. So that more or less inspired me to research more and delve into the story of Pozières and try and explain the reasons why the battle occurred and put it in perspective or context for Australians.
As you mentioned in the book, the Western Front was a carnage, and this Battle of Pozières, like the Battle of Fromelles, is little known in Australian history. And you say Pozières changed the Anzacs.
Yes. If you look at Australia's history, Gallipoli holds centre stage in Australians' mind, and probably the reason why it was the first major battle that Australians had fought in after Federation. And many people believed it actually linked the people together, would link the colonies together with Federation, but the people weren't linked. So Gallipoli tends to hold centre stage in our minds. With Pozières, it was part of the Battle of the Somme. The Battle of the Somme was seen as the offensive that would actually quicken the end of the war. So it was more significant on a significant front, British and French offensive. So the question I have or deal with in the book is why isn't it remembered, considering it was part of a significant battle? And one of the things I conclude is on the Western Front, it was industrialised warfare. Often soldiers didn't see the enemy. Often they didn't fire their rifles because they were caught under a terrible bombardment. So for many Australians, or soldiers, they were actually keen to put that experience behind them. At home, Australians were expecting this battle to quicken the end, or this offensive to quicken the end of the war, but in natural fact it didn't. It resulted in pages and pages of casualties coming through. So war fatigue started to set in. So I think that's part of the reason the two battles are actually looked at differently. Gallipoli, the coming of age, debut on the world stage, as per the language of newspapers, whereas Pozières, the Battle of the Somme, in many ways was seen as a victory, but indistinguishable from defeat because of the casualties.
And Scott Bennett, in the book, I think you say that by 1918, two out of three men of the Australian Imperial Forces were either killed or wounded.
That's correct. That's correct. So it took a very big toll on Australia. And at the time, Australia was a nation of 4 million people. So by the end of the war, there was actually 60,000 Australian soldiers that were killed. So it had a significant impact upon our society, so many men going away. And one of the things I noticed in the diaries and in the battalion diaries is after Gallipoli and after Pozières, in some battalions, which typically have 1,000 men, only 100 men had passed through both Gallipoli and Pozières. Those men had joined up in 1914 at the start of the war, were virtually decimated by two battles.
And that left a lot of scars for the next and the future generations.
One of the things I write about extensively is the impact it has upon Australian society. Charles Bean, who was the war correspondent for Australia, predicted that a piece of jagged iron flung across the fields of Pozières would drive its impacts through to future generations. And one area that I trace is 4,000 Australian soldiers went missing in the Battle of Pozières. Their bodies were never recovered, and if recovered, never identified. So that had a huge impact on families back in Australia where they knew very little about what happened to their sons. And in the case of one family that I trace, James and Jesse Brown of Toowoomba, they constantly sent letters to the Officer Base Records asking questions such as, What were his last words? What were our son Philip's last words? Is there any kit that you could provide us as a memento or in remembrance? Can you tell us where he's buried? Can you tell us, is there anything or any method that you'll actually commemorate our son? And most of the time, they never actually received answers. So this was repeated in houses, families throughout Australia. And the other thing is, even the men that did come home, in the case of Pozieres, 3 days into the battle, 20% of the casualties were actually due to shell shock. And some of those men never actually recovered. They came back to Australia, didn't feel like heroes, full of anxiety, found it very hard to fit back into their jobs. And when they did try and get pensions, their pension claims were treated inconsistently. So the impacts of Pozieres and any battle for that matter, you know, filter through many generations. I mean, I spoke to a lady as part of the book. Her name was Rosemary Lee. She was very emotional and upset about the fact that her grandfather had been killed because she remembered her grandmother being dressed in blue, navy blue, for all her life. And she remembered the financial hardship it had upon the family because the main breadwinner had been killed. So the ramifications of a 7-week battle can be felt generations after the last shot is fired.
In Australia, people were reading over-exaggerated reports of how the Anzacs were doing on the war front, and there were also strict censorship laws operating in Australia at the time.
Correct. And one of the things I've done is actually go through the newspapers of the time and looking at the reporting. And some of the headlines you read, this is at a time that Australians and Anzacs are actually under shell fire, intense shell fire. And some of the headlines you read in the papers are Australians yell cooey and frighten the Germans, or the Australians are getting out of their hospital beds to get back to the front. And talking about very low casualties, slight casualties. So the message that was portrayed, I mean, what Charles Bean, one of his dispatches, was under the headline, Australians walk through shell fire as if it's raindrops, which was nothing like what was actually occurring. And part of the reason was censorship was very strict. The War Precautions Act prevented correspondents from telling the real truth. And at the same time, the correspondents didn't want to be seen to doing the side down. So they tended to write uplifting, positive articles, newspaper articles, to make sure they fortified the resolve of Australians. Now, one of the interesting things was Charles Bean. He had his outward dispatches that were positive, but he actually kept his own diary. And as the battle progressed, it became darker and more melancholic because he couldn't quite make sense of the death and destruction. And his own cousin was killed at Pozieres, which deeply affected him. So he had his public record of the war, but at the same time had his private record of the war that was much more darker.
When did you discover that your great uncle did what he did during his 3 years war service, and what prompted him to enlist and lie about his age?
Yes. Well, as I tried to blow away the smoke of the Anzac legend and get closer to the real experiences, one of the things I discovered was the war records of my great-uncle. Now, my great-uncle was feted as a hero in Australia because he enlisted at 14, he supposedly fought at Pozieres, and then came back after the war, survived the war. But when we actually found his records, it was quite different. He spent a lot of time in prison as a 14 and 15-year-old, and in late 1916, he actually threatened to shoot his corporal, and he was sentenced to 10 years prison. When they found out his age, he was actually sent back to Australia. Now, for my family, that was very confronting because we had a stylized image in our minds of this person, of our great uncle. So I know for my mother, she was very sensitive to that information because she thought it may bring shame on the family. From my perspective, it's about telling the real story and providing more texture to the lives such as a soldier, such as Ernie Lee, because I think we develop a much better understanding rather than the one-dimensional view that was portrayed in the papers on Ernie Lee, where they said he was a splendid specimen of Australian manhood and talked about his fighting qualities. Again, that was a personal journey for myself and my family in actually understanding the true context of Ernie Lee's war.
SBS en français. Partagez nos rubriques sur Facebook.